For the last couple of weeks, we have been considering the description of a Christian that is given to us in verse 12. And there we read, "And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved." We've considered our having been chosen by God and of God loving us. And I thought this morning we would consider our being holy. So we're being told here that if you're a Christian, you have been chosen of God, you're holy, and you're beloved. The Greek word for holy is hagios. The word's used six times here in Colossians. Four of those times it's translated saints, which means holy ones. Holy means to be set apart and to be consecrated to God. William Hendrickson, he says, "As God's chosen ones, these people, both individually and collectively, as far as they are true believers, are holy. That is, set apart for the Lord and for His work. They have been cleansed by the blood of Christ from the guilt of their sins and are being delivered more and more from sin's pollution and renewed according to the image of God." John MacArthur says, "Because of God's election, believers are holy and beloved." Holy means set apart or separate. God chose believers out of the mainstream of mankind and He drew them to Himself. They're different from the world. When believers fail to act differently from the world, they violate the very purpose of their calling. Old Covenant Israel, they were called a holy nation because Israel had been set apart from all of the other nations of the earth and consecrated to God. Peter, he takes that designation of a holy nation and he applies it to the New Covenant Church. He actually takes four titles that belong to Old Covenant Israel and now he applies it to the people of God under the New Covenant. Peter says this, "You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences He's of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you're the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So the church is made up of those who have been chosen by God. They are consecrated to God. They have been cleansed in the blood of the Son of God. God has made us holy by forgiving us and cleansing us of all of our sins and declaring us righteous in His sight. So that means that as God looks upon you at this very moment, He's not looking upon you and all of your sin, but He delights in seeing you clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. That's how He sees you, and that's why He accepts you. Paul speaks of this when he says in Philippians that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. We have a beautiful picture of being clothed in righteousness in the prophet Zechariah. If you would turn quickly there with me. Zechariah chapter 3. I'm going to read the first five verses. So Zechariah 3 and verse 1. "And then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem, rebukes you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and he said to those who were standing before him, saying, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And he said, 'See, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you in festal robes.' Then I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by." So the filth was removed and the clean was put on him so he could appear in the presence of God. And so it has been with us. That should remind you of the prodigal son when he returned home clothed in rags and he was covered with pig filth. And the first thing the father did after welcoming home with hugs and with kisses, he commanded the slave to bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. He was now a member of that family again. Being clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that's beautifully expressed in one of our hymns, that being Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. Some of that hymn says, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in thy great day. For who aught to my charge shall lay? Fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. O, let the dead now hear thy voice. Now bid thy banished ones rejoice. Their beauty this, their glorious dress, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. All who believe in the Lord Jesus for their salvation, they have been set apart from the world and consecrated to God. They are forgiven of all of their sins. They've been cleansed of all of their unrighteousness. They are actually clothed in the very righteousness of God. In God's sight, they're saints. They're holy ones. That's you if you're a Christian. Now, because God has chosen us and set us apart from the world for himself, we no longer belong to the world. We're holy, we're set apart to God, and therefore we have an obligation and a delight to live holy. Peter says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the exhortation that we have in this chapter in Colossians, that we're to be holy in verse 5. Part of this holiness is, it says in verse 5, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. There's more in verse 8. We're to be done with anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. This is all contrary to holiness, contrary to what God has made us. And then the positive side in verses 12 and 13. And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Holiness is intensely practical. We all fall very short of what we have been called to be and what we long to be. But a day is coming when we're going to be all that God desires us to be and has actually predestined us to be. Ephesians 5, we read this, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. We are that right now in our standing before God, but a day's coming when that'll be ours in experience. We're given a little picture of that in Revelation 7, and with this we'll conclude. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all of the tribes and the peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, representing our purity before God, our holiness. Palm branches were in their hands. These are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, let's turn on our hymnals to sing of this to 439. 439. from Romans 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Pray these things in Jesus' name.